last August, I weighed 20 pounds more than I do now. All right. Hey, this isn't a braggadocious thing. I'm just setting things up. Because now summer has hit. And I have a very good friend when the hot summer hits. And that friend is called ice cream. Okay? Ice cream and I love to hang out together during the summertime. It's a coping mechanism. And if you're like me, you might find yourself drawn to ice cream, while at the very same time, you might be longing to be losing weight. And here's the thing, both of those don't go hand in hand, do they? Now, sometimes I'll pray before my ice cream. And I'll say, Lord, please. I know it is kind of junk food going in, but on the way down on the swallow, could you just turn it into carrots? Could you turn it into greens? Could you turn it into something that will be very nutritious? Now, you laugh at that, but seriously, I can, and I'm hoping not to do this, but I'm anticipating from time to time getting on the scale and say, what was I thinking having the large Andy's custard last night with the fudge, the column of fudge in the middle? What was I thinking? Because, see, I want to continue kind of this trend, but I'm not going to be able to keep that trend if I buy into this idea that I can have ice cream every day and still lose weight, right? Okay. Now, your issue may not be ice cream, but you got issues. All right. If you get nothing else from today, just understand y'all have issues, okay? Don't be just saying the pastor's got issues. No, you got issues too. And see, those issues that we all wrestle with and struggle with will get us to ask the question from time to time, what was I thinking? Right? Because with that question, what was I thinking, comes the underlying, how did I get here? Why do I keep coming here? And how in the world do I break the cycle? Okay, so for the next 11 weeks, we are going to be studying this thing called myths, mirages, and misunderstandings. Can you say that three times really fast? Myths, mirages, misunderstandings. Myths, mirages, misunderstandings. Myths, mirages, misunderstandings. Some of you guys are not even trying. Come on, this is Sunday morning. Time to engage those brains, okay? What is a myth? A myth is an invented story leading to a false belief, okay? Is it possible that you might be buying into some myths in life? Mirages. How many of you ever fallen for the old mirage trick? Oh, I'm in the desert, look. At that beautiful body of water, and then we go and it's not there. See, a mirage is something that looks true, but it's not true. Okay? Misunderstanding. Misunderstanding is a failure to understand correctly. Okay, right? Kind of makes sense. So myths, mirages, misunderstandings. If you don't like the sermon series, okay, Kyle came up with it, right? If you love it, it was my idea. All right. But Kyle came up with this because I was saying, hey, there's just something that I keep observing. And that is, as I counsel people, I see the same old issues. They might just look a little bit different, but ultimately they're kind of the same kinds of issues. And what is underlying so many of these issues are some myths that people seem to be buying into, that I can live this way, but expect this outcome. But it's like, no. If you're living this way, then please don't expect this outcome, because the truth is every belief has actions. I mean, your beliefs determine your actions. And every choice that you make has consequences. Every choice you make. Notice, might be good choices leading to good consequences and bad choices leading to bad consequences. And some of you continue to live in that realm of bad consequences. And you go, why me? Why do I continue to struggle this way? The common thread that runs through those three M words is this: ignorance. Okay? Ignorance. And that's probably offensive to some of you, but ignorance is simply not exercising knowledge, not exercising understanding, okay? But there's two kinds of ignorance. One is unintentional ignorance, okay? Unintentional ignorance is you just buy into something and you don't really challenge this. You continue to pay the price for going down that road, but it never dawns on you to stop and think and consider your actions, okay? I don't know if any of you bought into this, but I was watching a YouTube video a while ago, and I was so impressed by this that I was telling a whole lot of people I knew, oh, you've got to see this. I can't believe this was done. I would love to see this in person. But do you have the YouTube video to show? You've seen this before, have you? Any takers? You're like, wow, that is awesome. Well, whenever you see something like that, you're going, I mean, no, I'm not going to try that, but that just looked awesome. But it almost looked too awesome, if you know what I'm saying. The trial and error, oops, I missed the pool, let's try that again. No. So whenever you have a question, what do? Mythbusters, right? Mythbusters, okay? So Mythbusters guys then test this out, and they say, hey, you know what? Nope, somehow they did something because there is no way that could happen. In fact, if you play the YouTube video again, and we're not going to do it now because we got some spiritual stuff to talk about, but he's gaining speed even as he's going uphill. I mean, it's like, no way. But see, you can unintentionally buy into something and be very ignorant. Now, it's not because you're choosing to be ignorant. You're just ignorant, okay? There's a word for that called stupidity, okay? But see, just because something appears true doesn't make it true. That's probably the biggest takeaway from the morning for some of you. Just because something appears to be true. Hey, look what they're getting away with. Oh, man, look at all the sin. They're sinning. Look, and they're getting away with it. And here I am. I've got to go to church. I've got to listen to that pastor. I've got to do all this kind of stuff. And look, they don't. They're doing fun things on Sunday, and they're getting away with it. Just because something appears true doesn't make it true. But see, there's not only this unintentional ignorance, there's also this intentional ignorance. Okay? Intentional ignorance, regardless of what I see to be, I'm going to do this instead. Okay? That's called rebellion. Okay? Unintentional stupidity, intentional rebellion. Romans 1 talks about this. 24 and 25, it says, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. See, he's saying there's a time where you as people can say, you know, I don't care what I see. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And God doesn't totally know all of my circumstances, though he does. See, because I had this kind of past, I have been given a license to act out this way. Okay? And therefore, God should have grace on me and permit me to get away with this, even though his word says I'm not going to. But I'm going to be the exception to the rule. And we all play that from time to time. See, the reality of both is pitching a tent at the KOA. And when I say KOA, I mean knocked out again. You've been KO'd again. You've been knocked out again. And you're saying, what was I thinking? And you keep coming back to that very same point. What am I thinking? See, the synonyms for ignorance are empty-headedness, shallowness, and I was amazed by this one word, darkness. So ignorance is saying, hey, I'm going to make my home in the darkness. See, some of you have even been to financial seminars, and you go and attend a class, and you think because you attend a class, you're automatically going to start making wise choices regarding your finances, but you still do the same old things you did before, and then you get into worse debt and worse debt and worse debt, and then you ask yourself the question, what was I thinking in getting that $50,000 truck? When I could have only afforded a $1,500 used car. What was I thinking? Oops, I've done it again. What was I thinking by running into another relationship? Man, I was in this marriage for this long, and then all of a sudden it's just like, well, that marriage is over, and so I'm running and running, and I hurry and jump into this other relationship, and then you're finding yourself in the same old struggles again, and you get yourself to ask, what was I thinking? See, if this is you, and I want you to think about you. Don't think about, oh, man, I wish somebody else was here today. Don't see them around. No, this is about you, okay? If you have that pattern, if you have that habit, there's good news. There's good news. Here's the good news. The good news is that the gospel of Jesus Christ literally means good news, and good news becomes great news when the backdrop is a backdrop of bad news, okay? So you're living in the stage. Let's just envision this a stage, and it's just, man, you're going through this, you're going through this, you're paying for the consequences of your choices. But the great news that I want you to get this sermon series is this. Man, God wants to help you out. He wants to help deliver you from that repetitive cycle of just saying, man, what was I thinking? He says, okay, well, here, let me help you. See, good news is great news because it invades bad spaces. So see, the first thing this series is going to address is ignorance, okay? And the underlying premise of this series is a myth that we often buy into, and this is it. My stupidity won't have consequences, okay? See, that's a lie that we buy. Okay? My stupidity won't have consequences. This is why we are going to attack 10 different lies that all of us from time to time fall into. And we don't even realize at times that we fall into it. That's why I, as your pastor, want to address these lies. Because your stupidity will have consequences. It'll have consequences because of this. Some of you believe that as long as you're sincere, that you won't have consequences. Hey, God knows that I'm sincere. Yes, I might do this, but he knows my heart. My heart's sincere. Well, let me illustrate the folly of that reasoning for you, okay? I have traveled the world. Not as many places as it sounds by that statement, but I've traveled the world, okay? Here is coinage from different countries in which I've traveled. There's the euro. There is the sucre. That used to be the Ecuadorian coin until it took something like 135,000 of those to equal one American dollar. And they go, man, it's a lot of coinage that we have to print. So I've got that. I've got shillings from Kenya. Okay, now, if I go to Pop's Chicken right after church today, okay, I could have this bag. And see, the number on some of these coins is like 100. Okay? So 100 is a lot, right? It's more than 10. So I've got this big coin that has Diaz pesos. Okay? 10 pesos. Wow, that's a lot of money, right? Wrong. Okay? The smallest one in here. Oh, I put it in my pocket. No, I didn't. Oh, it's right here. When the smallest one's in here, 100 sucres. Well, 100 is more than 10, so surely that's worth more. Not really. So if I went to Pop's Chicken and they said, okay, it's $10, and I started giving them this stuff, would they accept it? Why not? It's not acceptable currency. For this kingdom, the kingdom of the United States of America, requires that you pay in dollars, right? Dollars. Some of you go, oh, I thought it was credit card. No, dollars, okay? Paying dollars. So now I could say, wait. Okay, yeah, maybe this wasn't enough money, but how about look at all this that I have. I'll give you the whole bag. Pop's Chicken is saying, but it's no good here. Okay? See, you could be very sincere, but look, if you went to the international banks, this would be more money than this $10 that you're demanding of me, but I've got more money here. They're going to go, yeah, but wrong currency. See, I think in the very same way when it comes to wisdom, we've got to understand something. Proverbs chapter 1. Turn there in your Bibles, Proverbs 1. We are going to be looking at the wisdom literature, primarily Proverbs. We're going to hit different myths, mirages, and misunderstandings that the wisdom literature of God's word, specifically Proverbs, calls out. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 22 says, "How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple?" Now, before I go on, who is speaking here? God? No. Wisdom is personified. Okay, so the author here is saying, okay, let me personify wisdom for you. And he personifies wisdom in female terminology. It says, she cries out in the streets a couple verses earlier. So it says, how long will simple ones, we love being simple, how long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you refuse to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded, because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes. When terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me. Again, who is talking here? God? No. Wisdom? Yes. Please understand that. He's just saying, when you make stupid choices, expect stupid consequences. That's the Tema version of that, right? Okay. 29. Why? Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. would have none of my counsel and despised all my reproof. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. For the simple are killed by their own turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. Man, I read that verse and I go, I want that. Okay? So, wisdom is calling out and she's saying, here is the deal. Heed my warnings. Okay? Folks, not only in this series will we address ignorance, but we'll also address our impotence, our inability to have the power so many times to overcome the certain things that are like magnetic pulls to our heart. The sugar in my soul that says, hey, I want to be your friend this summer. It's like, no. And then I see strawberries in the grocery store, and I see angel food cake, and then I see whipped cream, and it's just, oh, I've got to have it, I've got to have it. Folks, we're going to address arrogance. We're going to address impotence. And I've got to warn you. I think so many times, because we think we're getting away with it, we just keep going down that road. And the warning of the series is don't be like a frog in hot water. Because that water is turned high, and without realizing that frog is going to boil to death. In the weeks ahead, we're going to look at this a little bit more particularly. But here's what I want to challenge us to do in closing, okay? Two things. Simple things, yet for you it might be hard. One is this, commit to seeking the truth. Commit to seeking the truth. When I say that, what does that look like? Well, John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Jesus defines himself. He personifies truth. So if you want to follow after truth, okay, then you seek after Jesus. See, some come to church, and it's like, yeah. I've heard that. Oh, I haven't heard that. Oh, that was really interesting. Folks, I'll tell you, if you don't walk away here desiring to seek Jesus more after these services, you don't have a prayer. You're just going to continue to walk around in this darkness. The love of God says, man, I want you to walk in truth because of God's commitment to this, he gave us his word. Okay? John 8:31-32 says this. How will people know if you're my disciples? If you abide in my word. Because when you abide in my word, you will know the truth. And the truth will do what? Keep you in bondage? No. The truth will set you free. The myth is that no. This lie will set you free. That's always been Satan's ploy. And the warning of God's word says, no, it's only the truth that will set you free. See, you've got to seek Jesus. You got to seek Jesus. And you've got to commit to placing your faith in the truth, not in the lies. So we're going to hit some different ones. Are you excited about it? You ready for it? I mean, come in, come ready. Bring your pens, bring your Bibles, bring paper, bring these things, because we're going to wrestle with these things together. And the hope is that you will not go and rely on your own strength to do this, because you'll fail. The hope is that you won't turn to religion to do this, because you'll fail. And you go, wait, what do you mean? This is a religious practice. Folks, religion is just following rules. Know Jesus, know the truth. That's a relationship. Okay? Man, we've got to commit to these things, folks. We've got to commit to the gospel, and we've got to reject the lies. Because when you embrace the lies as truth, you're embracing hell. Not just an eternal hell, you're facing hell on earth, folks. And I want you to hear Your loving Savior says, no, hey, I want to call you out of that. I want to call you out of that. I want to keep you from having to say with horrible repetitivity, what was I thinking? Amen? Amen. Let's look forward to taking this journey together. Let's pray.